Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again to give us an update on the extraordinary gold discovery taking place in the Pilbara Basin of Western Australia. Quentin, of course, is heading up Novo Resources. We've had them on the show a number of times in the past. They are a sponsor to the show, and actually one of my top holdings, a company that I have been extremely excited about, watching the developments take place. As we discussed with Dr. Henning several times on this show in the past, it was his out-of-the-box thinking in terms of how the Great Witwaters Rand gold deposit in South Africa was formed that took him to Western Australia in an effort to discover another great gold deposit of similar origin. For investors who may not know, something like 35 or 40% of all the gold ever mined in history has come out of the Witwaters Rand in South Africa. And Dr. Henning defied conventional wisdom among his geologist peers, and lo and behold, he has discovered an exceptionally large conglomerate gold system, perhaps somewhat akin, not exactly like, but somewhat akin to the Great Witwaters Rand deposit. Of course, this is a story that's in its infancy. It's unfolding as we speak. While the share price of Novo has fallen from its 2017 peak, as the sensationalism of the discovery has given way to the hard work of learning how to sample and mine a gold deposit that is far different than anything else encountered, Dr. Henning and his team are moving forward on several fronts. Investors need to be aware of what Dr. Henning and Novo Resources are up to if they wish to participate in what I think is potentially a very enormous gold discovery, and one that may make people wealthy. At least that's what our hope is. And this is all taking place now. So I'm really pleased to have Dr. Henning with me. Again, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Jay.
Several years ago, you started your work in Australia on a project known as Beaton's Creek. And then came the spectacular disclosure of a field of large nuggets in conglomerate rock some, 100 or so kilometers to the west of your Beaton's Creek project. That is known now, that project, one of those projects anyway, is Comet Well, your primary focus there. It was your alert involvement in that discovery that caused your stock to take off like a rocket in 2017. More recently, you also picked up some ground in an area a bit to the east of Comet Well, known as Egina. But you were also, once again, very active, moving back to Beaton's Creek. So which of these projects would you say are your major focus right now? And then perhaps, Quentin, take a few minutes to describe what you're doing with each of those three areas.
Yeah, you know, Jay, I'd really encourage people to think of what we're doing here in a holistic way, because really this is all one big gold system. It's just like you said, it's a basin-wide system. These different occurrences that we're working on are all part of that basin, and they're simply separated by space. There's actually many prospects and other known gold occurrences here and there in areas between and around these main areas of focus for us. But right now we've got really three levels. I'd encourage people to think of three levels of exploration going on. Beaton's Creek, as you said, was where we started. We picked up Beaton's Creek. It was a historic mining center. There were known conglomerates. A lot of people here in Australia, I think, viewed them as challenging. They were known to be nuggety. They were viewed as erratic and so forth. But we've come in. We did some, innovative geology and sampling and so forth over the next few years. And we managed to put a resource together. I think 2015 we had a resource on the order of 550 or 600,000 ounces at that point. Anyway, to fast forward, we like you said, moved over to Comet Well. That's obviously a big focus for us now. But we also learned a lot on the way. So when we went to Comet Well, we started taking some even more innovative sampling approaches, bulk samples and so forth. We also undertook considerable diamond drilling to evaluate geology. And as we did this, we realized that we could probably apply some of the same principles that we were using at Comet Well to Beaton's Creek. So we did a program late last year where we went back to Beaton's Creek, and we felt we could enhance the resource dramatically by doing some bulk sample work as well as diamond drilling and really reevaluating some of the RC drilling, the reverse circulation drilling that we did a few years ago. We dropped cameras down the RC holes. These cameras, you know, could take pictures or images off the walls of the holes. And we then learned a lot more about the geology. In essence, we were able to draw a brand new model, like a wireframe model of the conglomerate beds. We were able to connect the dots from hole to hole to hole across the entire, you know, upper part of the basin system there at Beaton's Creek. And we have now remarkably developed a very high confidence around the model. And we're, you know, imminently, say in the next 4 to 6 weeks, going to issue a new resource based on this work. It's, you know, as I see it, it's remarkable. We've used an iterative approach to exploration. We've come back to Beaton's Creek, applied what we've learned, and I think we'll truly put a new resource out there that's going to make people sit up and take note of these deposits.
Yeah, I noticed in your press release that just came out this past week, you talked about those bulk samples that you took at Beaton's Creek. And I think it's some 45 bulk samples, and you have another 20 to go or something like that. But the weighted mean average was 2.55 grams of gold per ton, which is pretty similar to the average grades that you were picking up, I think, before what you had in your 43-101 resource. But do you feel that you maybe are now getting a pretty good handle on the distribution of gold at Beaton's Creek?
We do. These give us a lot of confidence to see, you know, a lot of samples. Like you said, 45 samples generate a weighted mean average of 2.55 grams, and that effectively confirms what was data that we've collected in the past, but of lesser quality. Okay, so this really gives us a high assurance. But what's really neat now, Jay, is that we can take, you know, mathematically and in the computer, we can take a lot of that grade and then distribute it through this new wireframe model in ways that we couldn't previously. So now we're looking at expanding the resource at Beaton's Creek, hopefully dramatically.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you had an image with your, you had some, you know, some illustrations in your press release that showed the updated wireframe model, and it looked to me like it's vastly larger and more continuous.
That's correct. Yes, it is. It is a shallow deposit. What's really intriguing about Beaton's Creek is that it's, you know, most of it's within a few meters or a few tens of meters of surface. It's basically, think of it like flat coal seams or something like this. You know, you can mine this quite easily. The gold tends to be free milling. It, you know, it's not bound up in other minerals like sulfides and stuff. It's a very, very ideal deposit. I think this is going to turn out to be one of the highest quality open pitable deposits in Australia.
Pretty darn good average grade to start with, but all those other factors that we've talked about before, the ease of metallurgy and so forth, could be a pretty high margin project, I would think. And do you have any idea when you might come out with some economic studies on this project, Quentin?
Yeah, look, we're going to put this resource together and then look at different economic scenarios that we might apply to it. Some of the work we're doing right now does include metallurgy, and particularly on the fresher rock material. And once we get that, I think we can start to put economic models together, you know, say at a preliminary economic evaluation level, something like that.
Okay. So right now, that seems to be your main focus at this moment is Beaton's Creek. Is that correct in saying that?
It is, but it's not because we're you know, neglecting the other properties. It is hot up here. Okay, it's the hot part of the summer. And it's also wet in during this time of year. It's been raining in Edina, for example. So it's not an ideal place to work in a remote setting at this time of year. So we're taking a break from some of the field work, but we are gearing up the work at Edina where we left off with the bulk sampling late last year. We're very switched on to expanding what we know about Edgina through additional bulk sampling this year. And, you know, we do have an allowance to move some dirt in there so we can do some, you know, small test scale mining and things like that. It's a granted mining lease. I think what people should understand about Edgina is that it's, although it's different than the conglomerate deposits because it's loose material, it's geologically, it's actually very similar. It's basically a gravel horizon that sits right at surface, easily dug with an excavator, and it's the erosional products of the conglomerates that surround the area. So as time went on, the conglomerates eroded away, and all of that gold that was locked up in them has been washed down onto the flats and constituted in this gravel horizon. So it's just an absolutely incredibly exciting deposit. And the thought that this thing could be yet another vast gold system as a, we'll call it a, an extension of the conglomerate story is really, really exciting.
So this thing has some scale to it, Quentin?
Yes. Edgina, look, we did work in what I would call a, you know, postage stamp area last year. It's the mining lease, which, is, you know, it's still a few square kilometers, but the terrace itself, this target area, covers literally hundreds of square kilometers. We hold something like 950 square kilometers in the area. A lot of it is this terrace ground, but the terrace is a big, big target. You know, this is something for, you know, it's almost mind-boggling.
So you have permits to do limited bulk sampling, I guess, at this stage, and do you need to make some arrangements with the natives to get larger scale permits in place, or what remains to be done there before you can look at this in a larger scale?
Yeah, that's a good question. So because we have the mining lease, we do have allowance to move some tons on that. I believe 50,000 tons this year. We can do some of that work that you mentioned, but you know, we do have a vision towards moving this to a much larger scale. You know, say something on the order of a million-plus ton test mine at some point. And to do that, we do have to work with the natives. You know, you always have a component of heritage clearance where you make sure that you're not going to disturb any known artifacts or sacred sites, things like this. And then ultimately, you also have to have commercial agreement with the natives. We are in those negotiations. We're working on that as well as environmental permitting. Because we believe that this system is there and that we're going to, you know, progress this thing to a trial mining phase. So in our view, we're taking this fast forward.
Okay, so Comet Well then, and back, how far away is Comet Well from Edgina?
It's 130 kilometers to the west of Edgina. So it gives you a sense of scale, you know, and we do know the conglomerates at Edgina are effectively the same horizon of conglomerates that we see at Comet Well. So, you know, once again, the scale of these things is kind of mind-boggling.
That's incredible. And Beaton's Creek, further east yet, how far is Beaton's Creek from Edgina to the east?
From Edgina, it's southeast from Edgina. It's about 180 kilometers. So, in effect, Comet Well and Beaton's Creek are about 300 kilometers, I think.
And do you say that the Beaton's Creek is part of the same system?
Yes, it's a little higher in the stratigraphy, but overall it's part of the same package of rock, absolutely. Oh,
that's just incredible. All right, well, Comet Well then, that's where all the excitement came in that area that drove your share price to the moon. Well, not exactly to the moon, drove it up dramatically higher and allowed you to raise some serious money in 2017. Where does that stand now? Because I know it's the extreme nugget issues there, and you're doing some experiments with sorting, which is very exciting, I think. New technologies, new computer power, and so forth that allows you to do things you never could have done in the past. But talk to us about Comet Well, and what are your plans this year for Comet Well?
Yes, so the sorting is actually a key component because that is potentially a way we can treat things both at a test level, you know, test scale, like mine level, as well as a potentially a future commercial level. All right, so we are continuing the work on sorting. I believe the initial test results tell us it will work. We're looking at how we can introduce that at a test level. We're also targeting doing some test mining at Comet Well, as well as, you know, continue with the native title negotiations. We have a mineralization report we'll be filing shortly. All the important steps that I've talked about in the past around converting the exploration licenses to mining licenses so that we can get in there and do some aggressive test mining and ultimately, you know, get in and hopefully build a mine around that.
Can you give our listeners just a quick sense of why sorting is so essential, so important in terms of the potential economics of at Comet Well?
You know, Jay, it's remarkable. The coarse gold thing has been a painful exercise trying to quantify grade, but it's a blessing when it comes to processing. Okay, imagine crushing up rock. You know, you have a little bit of a nugget occasionally in rock, in these rocks. Well, imagine you put a ton of rock through a machine, and the machine picks out, you know, a precious few rocks, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, a kilogram of rock out of that ton mm-hmm. that has most of your gold in it. Imagine that. Okay, mm-hmm. think about that for a minute. It's just absolutely remarkable. This could change not just Comet Well, but gold mining in general. I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of coarse gold deposits around the planet that could potentially be sorted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you avoid moving all that that waste rock around, and the cost, I guess, reducing the cost dramatically. Corporately, just in general, Quentin, how are you doing for money, and what is your burn rate? Because I know you're active, you're very active, and maybe now you're not out in the field and doing a lot of drilling and stuff now, but you're still, how are you set for cash going forward into 2019?
Sure. We have approximately $42 or $43 million at present. We have about $13 million in warrants that are due to exercise by, I believe, the 1st of May. Those are well within the money. We are generating some excitement. I think there'll be a few events that trigger some liquidity and help process those. But most of those warrants are held by long-term shareholders who know what we're doing. They're very supportive. I would say that we are very fortunate. You know, the way I view it, we have effectively over $50 million in the bank to work with those warrants. And that's key. You know, moving these projects forward is going to take a bit of time and innovation, but we have the ability to do it and also the right people.
You also have some memorandum of understanding with Sumitomo, I believe. Would you care to talk about that just for a moment?
Sure. Look, Sumitomo is a very good partner. Japanese are generally good partners as a whole. They're very much aligned with the company. They like to come in, usually in a minority position, put money up. But they're aligned because they want to see production. Okay, they're not around, you know, playing stock, or they're not, you know, trying to clip tickets and what all, you know, a lot of these financiers do. They're dedicated partners who will stick with you for the long term, mm-hmm. and that's level.
And this memorandum of understanding means that they have the right to come in, I guess, if they want to finance development and so forth, right?
It says that we agree to work with them, you know, basically on a first rights basis to allow them to look at ways to finance our operation. Of course, you know, it has to be approved by our board as well. But
sure.
These are, you know, it's basically an agreement to agree to work together in a friendly way to advance these projects.
All right. Maybe just in wrapping up here, Quentin, can you give us a sense of what investors should really be watching for in the next few weeks and months?
Yeah, look, at Beaton's Creek, definitely look for that resource in a few weeks' time. Edna, look for the start of the work program, in a few weeks' time once the rainy season's done. Comet Well, we have the mineralization report and other items around sorting and how we're going to progress trial mining, things like that. So in the short term, look for all of those items.
Very good. Well, it's exciting for sure. You know, I know that's a lot of hard work, and mining is always a lot of science goes into what you're doing, obviously more than ever, because the easy gold to find on just laying on top of the ground is long gone, and now you got to find ways to get the mineral out of the ground. It's a fascinating story. Quentin, thank you so much for being with us, and hope to keep up with you in the future.
Thank you, Jay.